Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Drinks are free.
Relax the rock.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7. It is a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday. Scotty's Vodka is DMV made and amazingly smooth, much like our friend PFT Commenter, who joins us now via the Rude
Everybody.
Guest Hotline. PFT, what up, man? How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing great. I was just saying, I don't want to follow Charles Mann anymore. He's too funny. He's the man. I had a blast listening to him. Really, some throwback names that he dropped on there, and just a smart dude.
Yeah,
he was talking about Liebenstein. That guy, he was my teacher in high school.
Oh, really?
Pretty cool
really?
Guy. Yeah. Too tall Todd, yeah.
That's crazy,
too
dude.
Too tall Todd.
Do you remember the poster I referenced to him, the National Defense?
Of course. That was a legendary poster. I had that poster. I do some friends that had that. But they don't make posters like that anymore.
No.
I don't think that was that one of the Costacco brothers posters, or was that somebody else? Because I do remember that poster vividly. I had it, a couple of my friends had it, and then there was a great deli in Herndon. I hope it's still there. I know it was in trouble about a year ago. It was just called The Deli, and it had that picture up there too. But yeah, we need to bring back the golden age of poster making. Kids don't understand posters. They'll probably just like there's probably just legendary NFTs. That kids can buy
right.
now, and they'll talk about in 20 years.
Golden apes now or whatever. But, like, I mean, seriously, that was the golden age of posters because, I mean, I think the most iconic would be obviously MJ dunking from the free throw line or MJ doing the wingspan, the Bo nose when he had shoulder pads and a baseball bat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was
that one.
The posse poster on a local level when it was Gary, Art, and Ricky. I mean, so many good posters, dude.
The Sean Kemp Rain Man one was pretty electric too.
Oh yeah,
and we have one in the Part of My Take studio. It's not I don't think it's on camera right now, but me and Big Cat look at it every day. We tap it like the Notre Dame Play Like a Champion sign that you hit with the off the field, and it is a old school Chris Berman, the Grid Father.
Wow,
where he's dressed up like a gangster in a pinstripe suit, and he autographed it and said, "You could go all the way." So we hit that. On the way to do the pod every single day. It's, man, we need to bring back posters.
Yes. You know, the next...
Posters are fun, man.
The next young basketball person that says everybody, you know, before the 2000s was a plumber or had a side job, just show them Sean Kemp highlights. That dude was as athletic, more athletic than anybody that's playing today.
Sean Kemp?
Yes.
Oh, hell yeah. No, jump out the gym.
46-inch, vertical leap. Just absolutely incredible.
All right, so we got multiple things to discuss, PFT. We got Caps, we got RFK, and we got the draft. Since we started on vertical leaps, though, I'll go to the draft. Washington absolutely makes a point to select really athletic people. I don't think that's the only guiding principle, but it is a guiding principle. What did you think of the Commanders' draft class?
I like the idea of drafting athletic people as opposed to unathletic people. I think that if you have to pick one or the other, I'll take that one. I like many people. I think I liked the draft, but I was also confused about the edge position. Just like, you know, you talked to Charles Mann about, and he's right. There's going to be people in training camp that get cut that Dan Quinn's going to look at and be like, oh yeah, this guy can play for us. This guy can get after the passer. Like the roster's not done yet, but at the end of the day, I would have liked to see at least, you know, one guy off the edge get drafted by the Commies. But, you know, you can't have everything that you want. I think that we had a pretty good draft. Connerly, the guy that we got in the first the first round, the big tackle. I've met him before. I don't know if I told you this story or not about my encounter with Connerly, but I met him on a plane when they were about to play against the Liberty Flames in the bowl game.
Oh.
And by meet, I mean he walked past me on the plane. And I just turned to the person sitting next to me. I was like, that guy is really, really big. Holy. And and when we landed, I immediately logged on to DraftKings and I put big.
1 second here. I think something cut out with PFT's connection. We'll get him back here. Just PFT, you there, dude?
I'm here, yeah. Can okay. you guys hear me?
Sorry, we just had a little, I'm not sure. What stood out to me with Connerly, and this is similar to your assessment, he is so big, to your point. He's massive, but it doesn't even look like he shaves yet.
Yeah, when I saw him in person, he has a little baby face.
It feels like there's still so much more for him to evolve as a blocker, as a run blocker, and just as like a player and a human, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I like a guy that's face-bald because I'm face-bald too. I can't really grow a beard. You can't grow a beard. You got nothing to hide. So it's all out there. I don't know if I cut out when I said that Nate Tice said that he was the best tackle in the draft.
Wow,
so,
that's great.
So I'm in. I like the idea of not just like saying we're going to do everything we can to protect Jaden, but actually going out there and showing that we are truly doing everything that we can by using a first-round pick on an offensive lineman. I think that that's a good way to invest in the quarterback. And just here in Chicago, last year we saw their GM, he was saying, we're going to do everything we can to protect Caleb Williams. But they were just kind of saying that. They were saying that because it was the right thing to say, and they didn't really do anything about it last year. Now, this offseason, they've changed their entire offensive line. But I think if you got a young player like that, absolutely 100%, I will never complain about investing in protecting him. Trey Amos, my only analysis of him comes from Ben Mintz here at Barstool. Ben Mintz went to Ole Miss, and when we picked him, Ben Mintz texted me, and he said, PFT, you got a great player in Trey Amos. So there you go. We have a great player in Trey Amos.
And from Louisiana too, PFT.
That's 100%. Have you met Mintzy?
Huh?
I need to introduce B. Mitch to Mincy. I think the two of them would get along real, real well. But, yeah, I mean, listen.
That'd be a heck of a twosome right there.
Yeah. At the end of the day, if you just draft players from Louisiana, I will not complain about that either. That's got a pretty good
You have a damn hell of a chance of winning then, brother.
And they could certainly drink.
Exactly. I was going to say at the linebacker position, I'm going to, again, defer to our coaching staff. They've worked with the guy before. We got a guy with a ton of speed, and I'm already way down the merit rabbit hole where I've watched a lot of his film at running back, and I've just decided that we got the steal of the draft at the running back position. So overall I'm happy, but I would have liked to see maybe one guy who's at the edge position.
Yeah, I mean, the way the NCAA screwed that, the running back Washington drafted, is unbelievable. And I just feel like it's like the NCAA's quest for relevance to punish someone when they can. I got one nugget that you might like, and I learned this week. Jalen Lane is the fourth round wideout they took from Tech. He's going to be a punt returner. His athleticism stuff is off the charts.
Off the charts.
Man. PFT, he's 5'10 and can dunk off his vertical.
40 inches.
I like that. I like that a lot. He's a speedy guy. I think he's going to be a nice compliment, nice weapon on offense. Man, I'm excited. But I also, do you guys find yourself in the same position where you see some people in the national media talking real, real nice about the Commanders, like really nice? Like, I think Rich Eisen had his power rankings, and he put us at number two. And I, listen, for the longest time, I would be upset, you know, if we get – disrespected in any of the meaningless power rankings in the media. But to have us at number two going into the season, I almost feel like they're trying to set us up for a letdown. So I'm respectfully asking most members
stop
of the national
talking.
Media to maybe stop talking a little bit, shut your mouth a little bit. Let us in that have the connection to D.C. Let us be the ones that kind of overvalue them a little bit, if anything. I want the national media to be a little like throw some ice water on ourselves. Bump us down to like number eight, number nine. I would like to hear that. I don't want to see number two on anybody's list. Okay, Rich.
I kind of get it.
You know, he's talking, like Coach Gills. He hated that. Like when people would rank us and talk good, I ignore them. They're just telling lies. He didn't want to hear.
Yeah, it's rat poison, as Nick Sagan would say.
Right. Talking to my friend PFT man. Commenter here on the Rude Guest Hotline. You can follow PFT at PFT Commenter. Of course, listen and pardon my take. Biggest sports podcast in the world, a national sports podcast, I would add. I love listening to you guys talk about hockey, dude. I mean this sincerely. You guys, and I still am a mark for Charles Barkley and the NBA post game because I love Barkley and Shaq and Kenny, and I think Ernie does such a good job that at times I enjoy that more than the game. But Paul Bissonnette might be becoming my favorite sports analyst. Like, last night I was like, I got to watch Turner so I can listen to Biz. And that's a credit to you guys and the pod because it's his growth has been outrageous, you know?
Yeah, Biz is a great dude. I love him. This offseason was a tumultuous one for Biz with the story about the Irish travelers that jumped him in the Scottsdale bar.
That is crazy.
He made like international news with that. And I absolutely, I will go to the ends of the earth for Paul Bissonnette, except if we're playing against the Leafs in the playoffs and Biz is doing his thing where he's Mr. Canada, Mr. Leafs fan. At that point, I'm going to have to turn my back on Biz. And yeah. I'm going to be like, was it Wesley Snipes in New Jack City? Just shedding a tear while I have to execute him. I'm going to have to do that to Biz at some point, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But I love hearing the guys on Turner talk about it too. You're right. And when Charles Barkley gets on there and Charles can talk about anything. I don't care. I could hear him talk about like commentate poker. I could hear him doing the National Dog Show. It doesn't matter what Charles Barkley's talking about because I'm going to listen. But how do you guys feel about this matchup against the Hurricanes? Because I'm a little nervous. I think that we got a great team. We're obviously underdogs going into the series. But the Hurricanes might be the team that makes me the most nervous in the entire Eastern Conference.
So I agree with that.
That's where legends are built. You know, if nobody believes you, you're the underdog, you come out and you handle business.
So I've had an interesting probably 3 or 4 days of hurricane preparation, right? I got the hurricane shutters are up now. Obviously in the regular season it didn't go well, but I got some good intel for you. They went 2-1 Carolina went 2-1-1 against Washington. Three of those four games it was Lindgren, not Logan Thompson. Two of the losses, it was the second day of a back to back. And if you go back to the bad loss, that early April loss that the Caps kind of got their ass kicked, and then at the end of the game they just started fist fighting everybody. It was like it was an ugly bad look. Honestly, we talked about this on the show, that was the end of like a long road trip for the Caps. They had played something like four of their previous five on the road. So they were at Winnipeg, at Minnesota, home for Buffalo, at Boston, and then at Carolina. And that was the end of that trip when they got smoked that night. That was the one really bad loss that to me is concerning. And I remember when we do our bets at the end of the show, I was like, Carolina's the bet tonight. Because they hadn't played in 3 days, and they're going to be fired up to play the team that's leading in the division. So all of that, I have now moved forward. Protas is back, look good. LT is back and looks all the way back to how good he was in like January, February. Caps at six.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sold. I'm in. I remember that game, and I remember thinking at the end of it, I'm at least glad that we got into some big fights at the end because it shows – your team's coming alive a little bit. If you're, you know, getting your ass kicked, you might as well just hit somebody in the face. I felt like that kind of snapped us out of a little, we were in a little malaise at the time. So I think we beat him in the last time that we played him. That was the shootout, right?
So, yep.
And you're right, LT coming back, that's huge.
And like looking good.
He's played really well. I've been very, very impressed with him. I don't think I talked to you guys since I went to Montreal, have I?
No, I listened to it on the pod, but B probably hasn't heard it yet. Tell him about that.
All right, so B, Mitch, this is going to sound sacrilegious when I say it, but that stadium, the Bell Center in downtown Montreal, that was louder than any SEC stadium I've ever been in my entire life.
Wow.
And I've been in Death Valley on a Saturday night. And that is extremely loud. It's the most. I love LSU. It's such a great place to watch a football game. This hurt. It hurt my head. It hurt my ears to be inside this stadium. It's a great fan base, and I don't think that the Canadiens won a game from us. I think that the series ended 4 games to the Capitals, 0 games to the Canadiens, and 1 game to the stadium. The stadium won. Game 3. It was crazy loud. That's a great sports town. So I'm just glad that we didn't have to go back up there because those fans would be fired up to see us if there was Game 6.
I was watching Game 4. I was at this little bar road near my house. You can hear how loud it is on the TV.
Yeah, it shakes.
It's loud.
There's I think it's the largest hockey arena in the world, I believe. I think it's 22,000 people. And, man, they are so loud. They're so passionate up there. And, I had a great time in Montreal, but I'd never want to go back up there. So I think I'm glad that we're not going to be going into that type of environment down in Carolina. They obviously have some good hockey fans down there, too. Although I was looking up, like, the most famous Canes fans. I didn't really find any famous Canes fans out there besides Brandy Love, and that's one of those if-you-know-you-know fans. So – I got to find somebody to start a rivalry with down in Raleigh.
I wonder how Dale Jr. feels about that, because he's a hardcore Washington, like, Skins Commanders fans, but he's a Carolina guy, mm-hmm. and you know the Hurricanes have been down there long enough that, like, all right,
he loves the team, okay, the football team for sure.
I can't guarantee the accuracy of any of this, but per ESPN. PFT, I'll let you pick who you want to start a fight with here.
Okay.
According to ESPN.com, the famous Carolina Hurricanes fans include Stephen Colbert, Petey Pablo, John Isner, and Evander Holyfield.
Ooh, I feel like Isner is a good one to start a fight with.
He's a little crazy.
Yeah, okay, so I could see myself starting a fight with him. Petey Pablo, I want to be clear. I have no beef at all with Petey Pablo. Petey, I respectfully, sir, I do not want the smoke. You're a great musician. Loved you in Drumline. You are a fantastic human being. But Isner, bring it on, buddy. Because Isner, he's the Disney guy, right?
I think he's a tennis
player.
Oh, the tennis is a different. Okay, so the tennis player. Oh yeah, who cares? Tennis player? Yeah, bring it on. You play tennis, dude. I think I could beat up 90% of tennis players in the world. So, yeah, I'll start a rivalry with that guy. Mr. Beast should be a Hurricanes fan, but he sold out and became a Rangers fan. Great choice, buddy. Great choice signing with the New York Rangers. I'm pretty pumped to see. I want to see, what's his name, Svechnikov challenge Ovechkin again. I would like to see a run back of that fight from 2019.
Yes, that was an absolute beatdown. We actually just did an exercise trying to get prepared for some of the tougher names. Pronunciations that Carolina has. And our guy Jeff, you talk to Jeff when he calls you each week, came up with the best name for Shane Gostisbehere.
Yeah.
This whole series, we're just calling him Shane Gostisbehere.
Gotta be there. Yeah, I like that. And maybe their best player is named Aho.
Yeah, that's true. Yo, instead of Aho, he's 100% A-ho all week.
we're gonna just slap a hoe.
We got to get after a hoe.
Dude,
oh, so I listened to it on Pardon My Take, but I wanted to give you a moment just to kind of reflect, here locally on, it's not a done deal. There's real questions to be asked, but there's clearly a lot of momentum surrounding RFK Stadium. and a new football stadium, and just the RFK site and a new football stadium. Just what that meant to you to watch it kind of unfold, to see Roger Goodell here, and how realistic this thing feels like it's becoming.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to happen. It sounds like there's at least 5 votes now on the city council. And I did listen to some of the interviews with the chairman of the council, who was saying, pretending that he was surprised that the mayor had this press conference. And he was like, yeah, you know, no one ever talked to me about it. Dude, people have been negotiating with you about the stadium for the last at least 6 years. I'm pretty sure that he was kept in the loop. The council is going to ask for a little pound of flesh. They're going to ask for, you know, 1 or 2 concessions to finalize the deal and sign off on it. So I think it's a matter of when, not if, right mm-hmm. now with the city council. But I'm glad that it's coming back to D.C. because you can't be the team that practices in Virginia, plays in Maryland, and then call yourself the Washington Commanders. I like the idea of the team being where it should be at the site of RFK Stadium. It's everything that we've wanted as fans for the last 30 years. It's back where it should be. And I couldn't be more excited about it. I know that we're going to put a dome on it. In an ideal world, I think football is meant to be played outside. I think it's a better sport when it's outside. We introduce some of the, you know, randomness of having snow games and bad weather games. I know it sucks for a player to have to play in it. But in terms of the product as a fan, I would like for it to be outside. But I also realize that you got to put a dome on that thing if you want to have a Super Bowl, if you want to have concerts, if you want to have, I guess the NFL draft has now become a traveling road show. Mm-hmm. So I guess we have to plan for that as well. So I hope we do.
I think it might be in D.C. before that stadium is built.
I think the NFL draft, the league gets to use that as a carrot. It's like, yo, get this done. And then I think the NFL draft will be in Washington in either 2027 or 2028, just depending on when the RFK legislation gets passed. Because I think they want to have it on the mall. And imagine the sight lines and the crowds you can host. I mean, the mall has hosted a million-man march, right? Like, you could get massive amounts of people here, and I think it'll be pretty damn epic.
What about this? What if you have the draft, you let them have access to the Capitol Rotunda, and you have it on the Senate floor, and you bang the gavel, and, Eagles fans are upset because they didn't get the guy that they wanted in the first round. And they storm into that thing wearing like.
We've had a little too much storming the Capitol lately. So I think we pass on that and just put Roger Goodell up in front of the Washington Monument or something. Yeah.
Yeah, we can still get Arch Manning if Howie has the courage. You know, like really show your displeasure as Eagles fans and let them know. Yeah, yes, the draft is now like it's a circus that goes around. It's a weird place to go to. I'm glad that the fans go there. Because I like seeing all the fans dressed up, like clapping or booing for guys that they have no idea about. It's a fun event to watch on TV. But I personally don't think I would ever want to go to a draft and just sit up front for 4 hours and listen to names being called on a microphone. Doesn't sound like my idea of a good time. But yeah, you got to have all those things.
It was fun in Tennessee.
I've had to work a couple. Yeah. It's a long day of work. But Tennessee, you flew in private, drank the whole time, flew home that night, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fun trip.
Thank you for your service, teammate. That was important. Journalism still matters in America.
PFT, thank you for the time, bro. Appreciate it. Let's go Caps.
All right, have a great weekend, guys. Enjoy the Kentucky Derby too. One of the best sports days of the year. I always look forward to this Saturday, the start of summer.
You got a pick? Man. Who's your pick?
Well, we talked to Randy Moss, the horse racing one, not the football player one. And he said that that journalism, although he is the overwhelming favorite, I think he's looking at like 5-2 or 3-1 odds. He says that horse is worth that price, even though it's like betting on Scottie Scheffler before a major tournament.
Gotcha.
You kind of have to hold your nose and be like, the payout's not going to be what I would love to be. But he's a good enough horse that he thinks that the favorite should win.
There you have it. Thank you, PFT. Appreciate you, buddy.
Bye, bro.
All right. Bye, guys. Have a great weekend.
The one and only PFT commenter. Give him a follow at PFT commenter. Check out the Pardon My Take podcast. When we come back, let's talk a little wide receiver situation. Nobody go anywhere.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. Don't miss your chance to bet on all the clutch shots and legendary performances with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. FanDuel is the best place to find all your favorite player props, and now you can make a heads-up play with player performance trends. That means whether you want to bet on a player to score 30 points or put up a triple-double, you can check out the latest stats and see who's hot without leaving the app. Plus, after the game tips off, you can even combine live prop bets into a same-game parlay for a chance to win big. If you don't already have FanDuel, playoff time is the perfect time to join. You'll get started with $250 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So visit FanDuel.com/Brian to join today. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Round
like a waterfall. I like this song.
Waterfall. Stopping us right now.
Even White Brian's dancing. Look at him. Yo, I did
notice. He's getting his haircut this weekend.
Did you notice what White Brian's got working? He's wearing his pink pants, B. You know what that means.
Uh-oh.
Big night in the Hawk house last night. Good for White Brian.
Hawk.
Yo, I mean, it's his name. I don't know what you want me to say.
Oh,
B,
boy.
I wanted to ask you something.
This show is off the rails every damn day.
I mean, Fridays are literally called Vodka Red Bull. What do you want from me?
Bro, we need to have some.
Scotty, where you at? B, I was unaware of this. I want to get to the Commanders wide receiver depth chart and how we feel about it because of that stupid tier thing the other day. But this is a legit question. I guess the Junks this morning talked about Six Flags in Bowie is closing?
Or maybe that's not that, Bowie, but wherever that is. Like, the Six Flags over there on
Who
Central
said
Island.
That? Didn't Jeff, you told me that yesterday, didn't you?
Is it? I thought they were just closing the water park. They're closing all of it?
Yeah, it's completely closed.
Well, we need to get somebody else to come up, man, and get that right.
Why?
They just don't see it in their future plans.
Dude, for all the talk of, like, the Commanders won't just leave Northwest Stadium to rot over there, what do you do with an old amusement park? I mean, there's like a billion roller coasters and stuff. Like
neighborhood.
What?
Turn into a neighborhood or build another park.
There's already a house on that land.
Somebody might come in and get it right. Wasn't that Dan's stuff for a while?
Yeah, it was Dan's.
You didn't expect it to stay running good if it was his, right?
Yeah, the website says it's open in May.
Yeah, but they say it's closing.
In the end of the year. I think.
End of this year it closes. Yeah. All of it or just the water park?
All of it.
Damn.
Yeah, it would be hard to just close just half of the park down.
I don't know. I mean, are you a park expert?
No, you ever been inside Six Flags America? You know the water park is in...
To the left.
Yeah, it's the only Six Flags with the water park included with the rides part.
I'm just saying you could close the left side and keep the roller coasters going. Like if water park upkeep is significantly more expensive or whatever, you probably need more humans for
water
parks.
And then
you
have to think, will people come spend $50 for 30 minutes? Because you could walk that entire park and ride those rides in 30 minutes.
That's how little they got? So
yeah.
If you just want a daily ticket, that's not that bad. A daily ticket starts at $30. Now, granted, I haven't been over there in a while. When's the last time you were there to ride a roller coaster?
I have never ridden a roller coaster over there. I've gone over there for different events and stuff like that, and I took the kids over there to go ride, but I didn't ride anything.
Are you a roller coaster guy?
Yeah, I love roller coasters. I told you I rode that crazy thing down at Busch Garden.
Oh, you did?
The fastest, supposed to be the fastest in this whole country.
How's King's Dominion holding up? King's Dominion was always my one seed of local amusement parks. As a kid, I'd get the most excited for King's Dominion. Is it doing well?
I guess.
Couldn't tell you.
I don't hear no news about it closing.
Busch Gardens is definitely doing well, but that's also like, they have like a bigger, I don't know how to describe it. They have more than just like roller coasters. You know what I mean? Like, I think people go there for restaurants and stuff. I hope King's Dominion's all right. B, we saw this dumb thing the other day about where the Commanders' wide receivers rank. Mm-hmm. Am I crazy? I think they've improved dramatically at the position.
You're not crazy. You're right.
I Deebo Samuel, for all the talk of he might have had a down season last year, he would have been their second leading wide receiver. Yeah. And when you look at total yards, he went for 806 from scrimmage. And he's 2 years removed from 1,100.
But I just think when you look at how well he was at 2 years ago, people compare everything to that. He was so good that year to where he can probably have a good year and people still say it's down.
Yeah, from the 21 season?
Yeah.
You bring back Noah Brown. You bring back KJ Osborne, which is kind of interesting. Of all the guys they let walk, and OZ and Diami, and you bring back Osborne. You add Deebo, and I think you add Michael Gallup. I think the Gallup thing will be fascinating. If he still has a high gear there, he can help you. I don't know that he does. He's only 29.
Mm-hmm.
You draft Lane, who definitely has a high gear. And one dude I think people are like collectively sleeping on is Luke McCaffrey. I think last year expectations might have been too high for a third-round wideout. But going into year two, a guy that
after
has
you have one after you got a third-round wideout that's a top-notch dude around the league, you start expecting it.
That's true.
I mean, Terry.
Maybe Terry.
Terry's been like that since he walked through the door.
If you can take or leave the advanced analytics on this, but the advanced analytics suggest that Luke was really good at getting separation. So then it becomes a matter of like getting on the same page with Jaden.
Mm-hmm.
Luke's also still kind of learning the wide receiver position.
True.
But I think he could have a much larger role.
I would think he will because, listen, very similar to me coming here with Coach Gibbs. That first year, if they really see something in you, they allow you a chance to learn. The next year, you have to compete now. And I believe that he should be. Because you watch him through the year. Early on, he seemed a little uneasy. Later, as the season went on, he began to look a lot more comfortable. He did get open a lot. But some of the times, the ball is already gone. Or he wasn't in the read, but he still was getting open. So this year, maybe, just maybe, things start to cook for him.
I mean, I think it'd be great. It would certainly help the offense. He's such a hardworking, good dude that I think it could certainly work. It seems like people have now decided because his rookie season was not a breakout that he can't play, and I would issue caution for that.
But see, the whole thing about it, Jay, I just think that's what fans do. They either go too far ahead or too far over the other direction. You can't be affected by that. You talk to the people that make the decisions every day. Do they still have an interest in it? Do they still believe he can play? It's all that matters.
We are talking NBA playoffs with Chris Miles coming up at noon. Chris Miles from NBA TV. What we got to do real quick, talk about our friend Mr. Paul Henry and Paul Henry's window installation. Last night, I was not babysitting Landfill. I was just home by myself with my children, and I got them to sleep, and I chilled on my porch where I watched a whole bunch of sports. I wouldn't have my porch without Paul Henry. They do a great job with doors and windows, but they can do more. Give him a call, talk to him, see what you're trying to figure out, and see what Paul can do. He's a wizard. Call this month. You get 10% off each window with a 5-window minimum and 10% off each door.
Yep, Paul did a lot. Great job for me as well. Has done all my windows. He did a great job with it, so I called him back to change up doors. Did that too. Then I said, you know what? Let me get everything the same way. Or I went over to my other garage. I had Paul come in and get everything again for me. And as Jay talks a lot about, when you start getting those new units, like we were at Rue yesterday, got the new units, it keeps the air in, and it keeps the heat in as well. Doesn't let all the stuff from the outside come in. Paul does an outstanding job. So you reach out to Paul right now. You get 10% off each window with a 5-window minimum and 10% off each door. Reach out to Paul Henry's Window Installation today and tell him B. Mitchell Finley sent you. PaulHenry'sWindows.com. You're clear, homie.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Improvement choice.
Flag CEO said he thinks the property should be redeveloped. So that's how we landed there.
Okay.
Coming up in a few minutes here, we're going to talk some NBA playoffs. Then maybe we open these phone lines up. We got Ask Me Anything coming up a little later. Our guy Mike Beasley from MGM National Harbor going to come by, give us some picks. Kentucky Derby this weekend. I got a question for you, B. The Caps are now in their all-time, all-world record.
Mm-hmm.
We know where the Commanders' playoff run ended, in the Final Four, if you will, in the NFC title game. Who's having the better season, Caps or Commanders?
I think you would have to go with the Commanders because it's been so damn long. But the combination of things with the Caps would throw it, I think, in a different atmosphere. With Ovi breaking the record, they would have to go farther in the playoffs, though.
I agree.
It can't end after this round and be a better season.
Well, it's also, to me, I don't know if you agree with this. I was talking with somebody. If the Caps season, say they lose in 7 to Carolina, it's been a good year. Ovi broke the record. Mm-hmm. They developed all these young guys. They look like they are a real force going forward. They got more guys coming. Carberry has established himself as a great coach. Like, it's been a good year.
Yeah.
They have to get at least to the Eastern Conference Finals for me for it to equal the Commanders.
Mm-hmm.
And, dude, I still might have the Commanders ahead. Ovechkin's record-breaking thing was unbelievable. But for Washington, who's been so bad for so long and hasn't had a quarterback for so long, and to answer both of those things in year one of the new owners really taking over, like, it just, it feels like.
Feels bigger.
It feels bigger. It feels like a sea change has happened.
Yeah.
And it, for the Caps, they've been good for 25 years.
Yeah.
And so it's like, all right, they're still good. They got to, now, what we always say on this program, if there's a flag, flags fly forever. Like, if they win it all, hell yeah, it's them. Mm-hmm. And I think even if they get to the Stanley Cup final, it becomes them.
Yeah.
But Washington just had so much happen. The Commanders just had so much happen mm-hmm. in such a short period of time that it still resonates bigger.
It does. It does.
What say you, Mr. Landfill?
I would go with the Commanders having a better year. I mean, they made it to the conference championship game.
Yeah. What do the Caps have to do for them to take over?
I think because it was such, you know, it had been so long since the Commanders had gotten anywhere near there. I would need the Caps to get to the Stanley Cup in order to take over. And they don't necessarily have to win it, but they need to get to the Cup.
I tend to agree with you. And I think even if they get to the Cup, I might still say the Commanders because it's been so long and they found a quarterback. But you get to the Cup, it's a really damn big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I think the better, rather than posing this as a question over who's doing better, I prefer to just look at it as
I like the fact that it's more than just one team that's doing good.
Yeah.
And then when you start looking over right down the street here, they seem to have some very, very nice pieces there.
Wood,
and that could go
Abrams,
up.
Yeah, Bruce.
And then, you know, I still feel a sense of confidence in the people that are running the Wizards now.
Yeah.
You know, you've seen them do it before in other places, and you hope that they're you have to believe that they could possibly get it done here, too.
May 12th, dude.
Mm-hmm.
May 12th. What is today? May 2nd?
Yep.
10 days, we'll know.
You will know. But then again,
can you imagine if they win the lottery? How
it'll pick it up. But like, my thing is this though: if they don't win it, you still have to believe that they're going to be moving in the right direction.
They already are.
Yeah.
I mean, I like a lot of the young guys, and they're dude. If they don't win the lottery, what's the lowest the Wiz could go? Fourth or something?
Yeah. Probably. Like,
they should get some stud. You big stud. Here's what we're going to do. Chris Miles joins us live from Atlanta, NBA TV, next.
AT Aliens.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads. We got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun. but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.